to Cokesbury United Methodist Church. We are so happy to see you this morning and happy that you have joined us. I hope this week has been a better week than last week for you, especially those of us down here on the Gulf Coast. It certainly has been for me. Has it been for you, Ashley?
It's been better, yes.
Much better. Yes. Most everybody's got power now, and that's a reason to rejoice.
Glory.
We're going to start with one of my favorite hymns, Great is Thy Faithfulness. So we don't have words on the screen this morning, so just join in and sing it. And if you forget the words, just make some up. Faithfulness. Now let's thank him for it. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, we're here this morning gathered together from many parts and places. We ask that you would be with our service, that as we draw closer to you, you would help us to draw closer to others and share your message that you are faithful in everything you do. We cannot undertake anything that you will not be faithful to be with us. So I ask your blessings on the sermon this morning. Be with Ashley as she preaches. Help us and open up our hearts that we may listen to what you have to say to us. In thy name we pray. Amen. Would you join me now in singing, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Thank you.
words and some hymns that I know I need to hear today. You're right. This week is a better week, but it's still a very, very full week, and we need to hear those songs of faith today, and I'm just so grateful to be able to join with so many of you. My name is Ashley. I'm the associate pastor here at Cokesbury Church in Pensacola, Florida, and we are continuing to recover from Hurricane Sally. It's been a challenging few weeks in the midst of a challenging few months, in the midst of a really challenging year. And so, friends, as we are gathered together today in this unique way, we want you to know that we are holding in our hearts so many people in our local community who are devastated by the storm. We gather today in hope because we're also holding in our hearts so many people in our nation and our world who are continuing to fight COVID-19. We are holding in our hearts all of the deep sadness, the brokenness, the injustice, the violence, the strife that we see so often in our world. And yet, we are called here today because we also hold in our hearts this very deep faith and this very real, tangible hope that reminds us how our God is with us through it all and is faithful, thank God, to change and transform even us, especially in circumstances such as these, so that we can be people filled with love and grace, and we can offer and share that love and grace. So today we take time to sing to God, and we take time to say thank you to God, and we take time to bring all that we are to God, trusting that God's word will meet us where we are and change us. One of those hymns that we just sang, we use the phrase that we are like wanderers in a barren land, and that kind of resonates with me this morning. Feeling a little weary and weak, we may feel that we are in great need of God's powerful hand. But that hymn ends one of those verses with the bread of heaven that God has for us. And that bread of heaven is the topic of our scripture passage this morning. We will be in the book of Exodus, and I invite you to open with me to Exodus 16. On a day when we or our dear ones or any of God's precious children in this world may feel lost or disoriented, like wanderers in the wilderness, and we're searching for that reassurance, we're searching for that guidance through this journey in life that for many of us, we've landed in a place we did not expect, we did not anticipate, and we don't have any idea how to navigate on our own. And so today, this reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, we will hear about a people who need to hear from God, and we'll hear about a God who responds. So hear these words. Now the whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the Sin Desert, which is located between Elim and Sinai. And they set out on the 15th day of the second month after they had left the land of Egypt. And the whole Israelite community complained against Moses and Aaron in the desert. I can relate to complaining. The Israelites said to Moses and Aaron, "Oh, how we wish that the Lord had just put us to death while we were still in the land of Egypt. There we could sit by the pots cooking meat and eat our fill of bread, and instead you have brought us out into this desert to starve this whole assembly to death." Can you hear the desperation in their voices? And the Lord says to Moses, "I'm going to make bread rain down from the sky for you." Incredible. "The people will go out each day and they will gather just enough for that day. And in this way, I will test them to see whether or not they will follow my instruction. And on the sixth day, when they measure out what they have collected, it will be twice as much as they collected on other days." And so then Moses and Aaron say to all the Israelites, "This evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the Lord's glorious presence because your complaints against the Lord have been heard." And as Aaron spoke to the whole Israelite community, they turned to look toward the desert, and just then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaints of the Israelites. And I want you to tell them that at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will have your fill of bread. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God. And then in the evening, a flock of quail flew down and covered the camp. In the morning, there was this layer of dew all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the desert surface were these thin flakes, as thin as frost on the ground. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it? What is that?" They didn't know what it was. And so Moses said to them, "This is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
A solace in the arms of Jesus. What a good reminder that we have a friend to whom we can turn. I'm so grateful again to be able to sing these songs of faith that I remember from a very young age, singing in this very congregation. It's a joy to go to God in prayer, so let's go to God in prayer again. Will you pray with me? Our God, we do come to you this day, and we are so very grateful that you are always there for us, that you are faithful in the wilderness and in the storms, whether we are in the frenzied rush of life or the mundane and minute details of a day, our God, you are with us. Faithful, gracious, loving, and good. As we open your word together this day, God, speak to our hearts once more. Help tired bones and wearied minds to hear your voice of hope and peace of justice and love. For it is in the name of our dear friend Jesus that we pray together. Amen. Well, friends, as we take a few moments today to remember just one of the many incredible stories of the wilderness journey of God's people in the book of Exodus, I have to tell you that it has been so helpful and so healing for me to be immersed in this story of God's love and provision, especially in these past couple of weeks. And I know in talking with so many of you, it seems that we've all just been feeling a little bit more overwhelmed even than usual here lately. There have been months of this perpetual anxiety around coronavirus. I know for Sandra and I both, these daily, weekly rhythms and routines are completely thrown off as we try to parent and grandparent and work and serve and love the people who are around us. As a nation, we are struggling with the grief that has come from the death of this incredible leader, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I've seen so many tributes on social media to all that she has meant to young women everywhere. We hear the continued cries for justice as racism continues to be revealed in our hearts and communities. And we think about teachers and school workers and families and students who are constantly adjusting to new norms. We still see the fires in the West and the water flooding the Gulf Coast. My goodness, barges are washing up into people's yards. And we think about this vital bridge that connects our community to Gulf Breeze and so many. And it's a lifeline for work and for school and for home. And I think we just need to name and be mindful that it is simply hard lately. We are in a strange, unexpected, challenging, difficult, and disorienting time, not just as individuals, but on a global scale. And so we really need to hear from God in times like these. And as I've explored the story of manna, the story of God's provisions for God's dear ones who are struggling and searching and questioning and complaining, you know, my heart just really goes out to the children of Israel in this story. It's like my compassion and empathy are dialed up exponentially. And whereas in previous times I might have gotten irritated with them and their complaining in the wilderness, in the year 2020, I find no prideful judgment within myself at all. But rather, I find myself more inclined to stand with these dear children of God in the wilderness, kind of searching the horizon for that glorious presence of the Lord in the cloud and speaking the truth about how much we all need God in these days, how much we all need God to call us out of our old, broken, painful, and harmful ways of being in the world and invite us into this deeper, more trusting, more caring, more whole relationship with God and with one another. So today, as I keep in mind and hold in my heart the weariness and distress of so many, I want to offer you three very basic yet incredibly important reminders from this scripture as we ask God for help in these difficult days. So now you don't have to do this because you have another task at hand, but I invite you all to maybe grab a pen and a piece of paper, write these down, maybe post it in your home or somewhere in your car, a place where you can be reminded of the story of manna in the wilderness. Because the first thing this story reminds us is that God is with us. Maybe say that with me right now. God is with us. As we read this scripture and we remember all that the children of Israel have been through, at first glance, it might seem like there should be no need for them to be reminded of God's presence with them. I mean, we might be tempted to think it should be obvious for them. It's only been 2.5 months since they've left Egypt. but they've left more than 400 years of slavery, and God heard their cries and delivered them, calling them out of Egypt in the story of the Passover, and then days later, just miraculously delivering them through the Red Sea. Remember, God parted the waters so that they could escape from Pharaoh and his army once more. And then in our scripture, the story just prior to the one we're reading today, God provided the people with water in the desert wilderness when they were thirsty and scared and afraid. And then all along the way, these dear ones of God literally have out in front of them God's glorious presence. And it's described as this cloud by day and this fiery pillar of light by night. You know, in a different year for us, in a different season of life for us, we might be tempted to throw up our hands and ask, what more assurance could they need that God is with them? But it's 2020, friends, and we find ourselves all too familiar with being overwhelmed in these days, trying to keep up with all of the new norms and new ways of life. I mean, 2.5 months ago feels more like 2.5 years ago to me. And so perhaps, you know, in these days, it is not too hard for us to imagine that when entire communities experience trauma, and in this case, it was egregious trauma, generations of slavery and greed and suffering, when entire communities experience drastic change, the uncertainty of the unknown, and the anxiety of the unfamiliar, well, can we not understand today of all days how these precious children need to be reminded as often as possible? Say it with me. God is with us. And yes, the children of Israel are free in the wilderness. Yet this new way of life that God has called them to seems to have been utterly disorienting, confusing, and frightening. In my Wesley Study Bible, the footnotes tell me that as the people cry out to God, the people go so far as to say that they wish they would have died in Egypt instead of being brought out into the desert to suffer the same fate. And it goes on to say that longing for the past is a continuous threat to God's people. Does that step on anybody's toes? Longing for the past is a continuous threat to God's people. And he says that it proves easier to get the people out of Egypt than it is to get Egypt out of the people. And it may seem a little bit harsh that the people who have been delivered and set free in this unknown would wish to return to the pain and suffering of what was formerly known, the familiar past, even in all its agony and anguish, seems here to be more appealing to God's people. Again, in a year other than 2020, we might be tempted to judge the Israelites for speaking so bluntly and almost irreverently, it feels, toward this God who has delivered them and saved them. But, you know, this leads us to the second reminder we gather from this story, right? So the first one, God is with us. And the second one is that God hears us. God hears us, and praise Jesus, God can handle us. Well, we can be a lot sometimes, but God can handle the blunt and the misguided complaining of the children of Israel, and God can handle us as well. God hears God's people whenever we cry out in pain or from harm, when we're in confusion and despair, and God can handle our anxiety and our fear, our grumblings and our complaining, our uncertainty, and even and especially our tendency to want to return to old patterns and ways of life, even those that are actually harmful to us. Do you see, throughout the entire Bible, I mean the whole salvation story, we come to know God as the one who is with us, the one who hears us. God is constantly looking out for God's people, and God is constantly paying attention to our cries for help. God is affected by us, and in this particular story, it seems that the people cry out not only because of the anxiety of the unknown, but also because they are understandably anxious, frankly, about where their next meal is going to come from. Scripture says they're starving. They are hungry. They are wondering and tired and probably a bit emotionally and physically exhausted, which completely calls to mind my adorable 3 and 5-year-old when they get hangry. And I know Sandra has some grandkids. She knows about this. The people of Israel are probably a little bit hangry and irrational at this point. And so I say again, after the weeks that we've had, friends, can we not relate to being in this state? Whenever we find our own selves in a desperate state, we are probably not going to bring our best selves forward to any given situation. But God does not seem deterred by the people of Israel simply bringing their true, authentic, and brutally honest selves forward. God is with them. God hears them. God is not irritated or doesn't seem put out or even judgmental. But rather, as soon as the whole Israelite community complains, God responds. Friends, God knows their hearts just as God knows our hearts. And so in this second reminder that God hears us, I want you to know that I am praying in these days that you and I would be brave enough to be honest with ourselves, to be honest with God and with one another, with our dear ones, with perhaps professional health counselors. I pray that this second reminder that God hears us and can handle us would give us the grace and the permission to name when we are tired and worn, when we are depleted and desperate, and frankly, just in need of some help. These are hard days. And as we seek to be the people of God in these days, believing that God is with us, relieved that God hears us and can handle us, then we come to our third reminder, which is that God provides for us. Always God provides for us, and in this passage we realize that God even invites us into new ways of being in the world. Now, granted, when God responds to the people of Israel, I'm not sure they were anticipating God's response would be a bunch of quail landing on the ground each evening and flaky, frost-like crackers appearing on the ground each morning. I mean, again, like, try to imagine that and allow yourself to laugh a little bit. It's a humorous image, isn't it? They discover God's provision in the morning and they are completely perplexed and they say to each other, "What is that? What is it?" The word manna in Hebrew actually means, what is it? Ma means what? Na means, is it? Mana, manna, what is it? God hears the cries of the people. God can handle their complaints. And when God provides for their needs, they have a hard time even figuring out what it is that God has given them. And even after Moses tells them, "This is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat," it is not too hard to imagine them looking at one another in surprise and confusion. What is this gift of God that we were not expecting? What do we do with this? And these questions, this confusion, these reactions are familiar to all who call on the name of the Lord. We cry out to God and God provides, but how often when we cry out to God and God responds, God does not respond or always provide the way we want or expect, or even in this case, in ways that are familiar to us. Yet, church, what we come to believe through stories such as this one and through our own life experiences is that God does provide. And what is even more incredible to me in this story is that not only does God provide, but God invites the people into this whole new way of being. As they complain very specifically about missing that opportunity to cook meat and eat their fill of bread in Egypt, God provides meat in the evening, manna in the morning, and God invites them to gather it with very specific instructions that will help them begin to undo some of that pain of Egypt. They're gathering only enough for each person. They're gathering only enough for each household so that even those who might not be physically able to stoop down and retrieve these daily gifts of God, they still receive their portion. And we learn that this gift of daily gathering is not just for the individual alone, but it's for all God's people in this community. The people gather bread and quail daily, and they gather two portions on the sixth day so that they can rest on the Sabbath. And all of a sudden, the God who hears and responds and restores invites them into true trust and dependence on God. They begin to unlearn these harmful habits of hoarding and greed that captivated and enslaved them for so many years. God hears, God provides, God invites them into a daily practice of gathering what is needed. No more, no less. No holding on to excess, no slacking off and neglecting the opportunity to participate in gathering the gifts of God. God provides for God's people, and in these unexpected gifts of quail and manna, and in the unexpected opportunity to gather them each day, God is in fact shaping and transforming God's people, healing them, inviting them into a trust and a wholeness they've never before. Friends, this day as we celebrate and remember that God is with us, that God hears us and can handle us, that God provides for us and invites us to participate in the gift of daily trust in God and care for one another, perhaps the comfort and the challenge for us in these days is to live as God's true children. To live like those who trust in and gather up God's goodness each day, sending cards, calling and checking in on one another, delivering and distributing food, whether it's with manna food pantries or feeding the Gulf Coast or collecting school supplies for home elementary school after all of this flooding from Hurricane Sally, continuing hurricane cleanup in homes and in yards, making those lists of 101 blessings, recognizing God's daily presence with us, God's daily provision for all, doing what God calls us to each day. Friends, as we share God's gifts of grace and love, provision and wholeness with everyone around us, may we be the people of God this day. And in the morning and in the evening, may we gather up and share God's hope and grace and love. Will you pray with me? God of us all, this day we are so grateful for these holy reminders of the ways that you are with us. Hear us and respond to us and restore us and make us whole and invite us into this whole new way of being your people in this world. God, especially in these difficult days, we lift up all your precious children to you who are hurting for whatever reason, God, and we pray that you would provide, God, that you would move in us to help gather up your gifts and your blessings, your grace and your provision for all. God, that we might be your people, transformed, made whole, redeemed by your love. As we thank you for the gift of our friend Jesus Christ, as we thank you for the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit, Lord, fill us with your heart this day. Share your Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we lift our prayer to you. Amen.
Let's close this morning with "How Great Thou Art." We've heard Ashley talk about our great God in the wilderness, even when the people didn't really deserve it, you know? And here we are. We know that we don't deserve it, but God is still our great God. So join me in singing "How Great Thou Art."
Goodbye,
guys. We'll see you next week.
Hey, His Kids, and welcome to the children's portion of the worship service here at Cokesbury Church. We're so glad that you're with us. Are you having a great day and a great week? So this morning, I have something that I want to show you, and it's something that you may ask, what is it? Because you probably haven't seen it before. Are you ready to see it? Okay, well, here it is. Do you know what this is? It kind of looks like a pancake, doesn't it? But do you know what it is? It's called monkey bread. I don't really know why it's called monkey bread, but I've heard some people say that it's called monkey bread because when you eat it, you pull it off and eat it one piece at a time, much the same way that a monkey would eat his food. Kind of cool, huh? And it's really good too. Try some monkey bread sometime, guys. Even if you're not a monkey, it's amazing. So when I said that some of you might say, what is it, when you saw the monkey bread, it reminded me of a story in the Bible in Exodus chapter 16. And it's a story about something that happened to the Israelites when Moses was leading them out of Egypt. The Israelites had been wandering around in the desert for many years. Things were difficult, and the people began to grumble and complain to Moses that they didn't have enough to eat. Now, if you had wandered the desert for many years, you'd probably be hungry too, right? You would want to eat anything that was around, even if it was monkey bread, right? Well, then Moses told God about their complaining, and God said, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven for you. And each day, the people can go out and gather enough bread for one day. Isn't that cool? So bread actually came down from heaven. Could you imagine that? Walking out one day before school and you see bread laying on the ground for you to eat? That's exactly what happened to the Israelites. And the next morning when the people went outside of their tents, the ground was covered with a fine, flaky substance. And when they saw it, they asked, what is it? Kind of like what you asked with the monkey bread. And Moses answered them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. God told the people to gather only enough bread for one day. Do you know why he told them that? He said that because he wanted them to trust him to send the bread that they needed each and every day. God still provides what we need for each and every day, doesn't he? So in the same way, we actually depend on him to provide for us every day. And that's why Jesus teaches us to pray in the New Testament by saying, give us this day our daily bread. And it's a way of us trusting God to provide for our daily needs, whether it's a roof over our head or food on the table, or a vehicle to get us from place to place. Whatever that may be, God provides for us every day, even when we don't recognize it. So today I want to challenge you to recognize the things that God provides for us each and every day. To start recognizing the little things, like clothes that we wear and food on the table, God provides for us every single day. So today, let's pray, His kids, and let's thank God for all the many ways that He blesses us and provides us with what we need. Let's pray together. Father God, we love you and we thank you for providing for us and giving this day our daily bread. Father, sometimes we have difficulty recognizing even the little things that you do for us to provide for us. How you give us a place to call home, you give us a warm bed, you give us clothes, you give us food to eat, you give us friends and family, God. We thank you so much for all the many ways that you bless each and every one of us. We thank you for our His kids and what they mean to us, and we pray that you would continue to reveal to them how you bless them today. So thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the example that we have with the Israelites learning to trust you every day with the food that came from heaven. Thank you again, Father, for your word and your message today. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, His kids, we thank you so much for joining us, and we can't wait to see you guys next week. Take care. Bye-bye.